time on a Monday. And a Monday after a busy sports weekend where you saw the Buff season come to an end. The Lady Buffaloes, not so fast. They're on to the Sweet 16 and await the winner of Iowa and is it West Virginia, I believe, they're playing today. So that'll be a fun one tonight. See if the Buffs can... That'd be kind of fun to play spoiler in Caitlin Clark's little send-off to the WNBA. We'll find out who they're playing this evening. The Buffaloes men's side of it, that's actually where we'll start there, Stoke. They came up short and couldn't punch their ticket to the postseason. So six tournament appearances under Tad Boyle. Won a couple of games in a few of those instances, but never able to get out of the first weekend. But how do you view the season? A success overall, or is there a conversation to be had about the future up in Boulder?
I'm good. Where they were there, I don't know, a month and a half ago, that big-time comeback against USC and got rolling there. It, before that, it looked like they were missing the tournament.
Yeah.
And so, look, is it going to be perfect? You know, it's hard for a season to be perfect. And I get it. You know, you have a little success and you want more. Just be careful what you wish for around here, right? And that's all I'm saying. So I like the fact, obviously, they got in the tournament. Not only did, well, they got in the play-in, they won that. Boom, win their first tournament game. And had a great opportunity yesterday to win that game. A wide open three with a minute 15 plus left to go in the game to take a 2-point lead.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was going down. I'm like, here it goes. They're going to win this thing. And unfortunately, it didn't go in. All right, I'm okay with it. I mean, would I like them to go to the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight every single year? Yeah, I would. But at the same time, like I said, you got to be careful what you wish for, what you ask for here. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. And so I think it was a successful season. If they would have taken that next step yesterday, it'd been a really successful season.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you on that last part of it. If they're in the Sweet 16, it's obviously the best under Tad that it's all ever been, and that would have got them their 27th win, two better than what the school record was before. And here's... I do have some questions about it. I have the questions of, do you continue to roll with what you've rolled? Because Tad has been good. He's been the best of CU basketball coaches. Or has Tad brought them as far as he can ever bring them, which is in the first round, win a couple of games every 3-4 years, and then it seems like that clock just kind of starts all over again.
Yeah, here's my question to you.
Okay.
So you say, hey, our standard's higher than that.
Yeah.
Like, which is laughable, right?
Sure.
You know, if you're CU, like, our basketball standard's higher than, you know, just making it to the tournament and winning one game. We got a higher standard than that, right? Okay, all right, whatever. Just say that's what you say. Who the hell are you going to hire? Like, who are you going to go get?
I actually have a name for you.
To go, I just asked you.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah, well,
He lives here already.
All right. So you got a name.
Yeah.
He lives here.
He already lives here.
Mm-hmm. Is it Marty Fletcher? We're going to go get Marty? Oh, my guy, Marty?
I mean, Marty. We'd have great access.
Right? That's my guy. Yeah. Maybe I'll return. Marty, Todd Reinhart, let's go. Who?
His name is Nico Medved.
Oh, you're going to...
I'm going to love Tad,
though. Now Fort Collins really hates you.
Yeah, it's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
They doubly hate
Crazy
you now.
Carl still takes my money, so everything
right.
is good with me.
That's it. You better get back on that interstate quickly.
Look, that's the name I floated, but let me, now I guess I can make some Buffs fans mad as I'm making CSU fans mad. I don't know that CU's big enough for Nico to take that step.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing a pretty good job at CSU, which I would say maybe less expectations there.
No doubt.
That's interesting. All right, you got me thinking a little bit there.
Nico Medved with all that, with extra money, with Big 12 recruiting.
Would he want that job, you know, or is he thinking maybe bigger if he can take another step with CSU?
See.
Right, like if you take another step with CSU and, you know, somehow, some way, you're back in the tournament, you maybe get to the Sweet 16, now you leap CU, and now you're going to, you know, just a bigger program. So I don't know, but that's an interesting name there.
Yeah, How do you think Rams fans, Buffs fans, just basketball fans in the great state of Colorado, what do you think the chances of that would be? Or is Nico looking to make that next step? Because that's the other part of that. You absolutely hit it on the head. Like, all right, you come back and the Rams roster is completely getting flipped over, probably at least anyway. The star players aren't going to be there. So can Nico even reload and do it again? Or is it just time for him to go, hey, kind of what we're talking about, Tad. I took this team, this program, as far as I'm ever going to be able to take them.
And, you know, saying all that, I'm good the way it is if I'm CU. I'm sticking with Tad and keep going down that road. I look at it's going to be interesting because, like, you're starting to see some of the jobs come open, the jobs getting filled here. Mm-hmm. The musical chair kind of effect here that we saw, especially there towards the end of the football season where, you know, Nick Saban retires and Washington coach go there, and then Arizona coach goes to Washington. I ran into my guy, Jed Fish.
You did?
Ran into him during spring break, yeah. Just out of the blue. So I hadn't seen him in a while. He coached me for a year here, mm-hmm. Known him for forever. And he was my receiver coach for 1 year, so it's good to see him. It was good to catch up with him. But you're starting to kind of see that in basketball right now.
Yeah.
You know, that's starting to go on. So, I mean, if it's not CU, do you think Nico is still at CSU? If it's you have a program this year come calling? It's like, oh,
yeah.
That's too good of an opportunity to pass up.
I mean, I think so, but you mentioned it. Like, you're starting to kind of get those conversations rolling, hear some of the rumors about who teams would want to go. And I haven't seen anything with Nico's name attached to it just yet. So that's a really good question. Maybe I don't know, Stoke. We can't be looking at it's not like we're looking at Nico through a Colorado lens and we're so biased and wrong. He has been a great basketball coach, and it's known across the landscape of college basketball. So, yeah, his phone has to be ringing at this point. Even if it's his early initial conversations, he's got to be having those.
Yeah, I mean, you think about they had a nice season this year, obviously. Yeah. You think about some of those programs that might be looking for, a guy that's obviously done what he's done and at CSU. So I don't know. I mean, this might be it for him there. You know, you're talking about CU, but it might be somewhere mm-hmm. else.
Well, and I would also say to your point about Tad staying around, as much as, look, I'm willing to have that conversation. I'm intrigued by if he has reached his ceiling. I will tell you, right now, what Tad just did, getting 26 wins, getting 2 wins in the tournament, albeit one of them was the first four, the play-in, whatever you call it, they're not letting Tad go this season. Absolutely no chance that happens because of what he was just able to achieve. And then I think there's some intrigue with what goes on next year. Maybe you can talk Cody Williams into staying and returning because he's not ready for the NBA, but he's going to get drafted to go play in the NBA. Tristan Da Silva is out of eligibility. He's probably going to get drafted and then bounce back and forth from the G League to the pros until he can, you know, turn into a full-form NBA player. You got a kid like Ruffin that's going to come in and play a big role. Can you convince KJ Simpson that he needs another year to stay? There was a texter trying to tell me that Lampkin had an extra COVID year. But I have not been able to confirm that, and I've already asked a couple of people that know much more about it than me or the texter, so TBD on Lampkin. But
okay.
KJ, Cody, Ruffin, who's the big fella? Dak that came in, who's like 6'11", but super raw. Like, there's a chance for Tad to make another run again, but it's very dependent on what KJ and Cody decide to do. And if you know anything about Cody Williams, he's going to the NBA.
Well, all right, you got to reload. I mean, you got to recruit. You got to get new guys in. I mean, he's done it before. Got to do it again, right? That's the world that they live in. That's a hard thing to do, especially when you're at CU in today's landscape with NIL, and you're trying to hold on to guys. You're trying to get recruits in. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do at all, especially at a basketball school like Colorado.
Mm-hmm. I also just got a great text. This is from the 970, so it's a folk up there in Fort Collins.
Oh.
Says Mr. Dover.
Oh, yes. I like how this starts.
Right? I was nervous, too. You know, they opened a Crazy Carl's in Loveland. It's closer to you than Fort Collins and way less populated.
Oh.
So I don't know if this is a person, like, having my back, saying, hey, you don't even have to make the trip, or because they have the 970 area code, they're telling me to stop coming.
Yeah,
I feel like that's what it is.
No, I think they're trying to help you out.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, I think they
are. Oh, so, nice.
So you have how far is Loveland from where you're at?
35,
okay.
40 minutes.
All right, perfect. A little bit closer then.
Yeah, save you about 20 minutes or
so. That's right. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. What do you think? Show field trip, Crazy Carl's?
That's still too far from me.
Oh, that's right. You live way down.
That's just too far.
Okay. I'll bring some leftovers. Well, you don't need leftovers either.
Huh?
You don't need leftovers, really.
Yeah, not really, but it depends. Depends. Okay. Sometimes.
All right, well, I'll bring you some.
I'm not really a leftovers guy. You're good with leftovers?
Yeah.
I've seen the dang meal preps that you brought in, so you're pretty much good with anything.
Oh, dude, we had a blow up over meal prep this week.
I just got to get real quick. Yeah. I got to get the cliff notes here, because you said you're going to be done with the meal preps. Yeah. Josh spends his whole Saturday going to the grocery store, right? Like grocery shopping. Imagine that. just imagine it. Like, that's what he does, like with his lady, right? Shout out Kelsey.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a sweetheart. But Saturday it's like grocery store day, holding hands, walking up and down each and every aisle, and just swinging, you know. And his hair, do you put it in the bun, or do you let it go down?
I usually actually have the curlers in while I'm at King Soopers.
Okay, all right, that makes sense. Holding hands, walking down every aisle, getting all their meal prep food,
because
she does the cooking and she likes to prep for the week. And she packs Josh's lunch up and puts a Monday, Tuesday, and he's got to take it in. But then on Sunday, so that's Saturday, folks, right? And then on a Sunday, it's all day cooking. And Josh just has to hang around if she needs any utensils or anything like that. And then he does all the cleaning up, right?
Yeah, I'm the cleaner.
You're the cleaner.
Yeah.
And so that's your weekend right there. Mm-hmm. And then you walk in here on Monday and you're depressed and like you don't even most of the time. Yep. And you just look sad. And I'm like, why does he look sad? Well, it's because he's got his. So all of that work for nothing. And then had it. Well, yeah, there's going to be some fights now. So you just got to put an end to it. Say, abort. I'm out on the meal. If you want a meal prep, great. You can go to the grocery store. You can cook it. But I'm not cleaning up. I'm not going to. Like, I want to go skate, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Skate or die, dude.
Right, man.
Yeah, man.
That's what it was yesterday. We did the grocery store, and then we wake up Sunday, and I'm like, hey, what's your day like? Here's kind of what I'm thinking I'm going to do, and then maybe we meet back later and we do stuff together.
Yeah.
But then I was like, maybe before I go skate, you start meal prepping, and then when I get home, you're done, and I clean up.
Perfect.
And we start our day together.
Right.
And she had some other stuff on the agenda and things, and then, you know, it led to me saying, like, well, what about my schedule?
I had a schedule too. I have feelings too.
Which obviously led to, you're an idiot. Leave me alone.
You're like, okay,
I'm going to do it whenever I want.
I'll just wait around here for you to finish and I'll clean up.
So shout out to Kels for the strawberries and blueberries this morning.
Oh, goodness.
But yeah, it's been a problem.
You get meal prep for breakfast
and lunch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And lunch. I wonder how long that's going to last. Kisner, what do you think? What do you think?
I have no room to talk.
Like,
huh? I got nothing.
I know you have no room to talk. I'm not talking about the relationship.
Oh,
goodness gracious.
Yeah, what do you want to say? Holy cow.
Golly. I'm talking, I'm not that mean. Not yet, anyway. Yeah. We'll get to that in hour four.
What do you guys talk about when I'm not around?
We're talking about the over-under on his relationship timeline. Goodness. No, how much longer in the meal prepping? How much longer do you think? You go, how long y'all been together? Just real, we gotta get this out now.
Anywhere between 3 to 4 years.
I know that story. Had a little break, huh? Had a little 30 on the shoulders. A little 30,
that's
little
right,
30,
dude.
Just quick 30 here. Quick 30.
That's
great.
Exactly right.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Perfect. All right.
I'm in so much trouble.
Oh, my gosh. How much longer do you think the meal prep? I mean, so that's a while. But eventually you just get fed up with it. It's just like, all right, how much longer do you think this meal prep thing is going to continue?
I'm going to say 3 more months.
3 more months. Once the summer gets here.
Yeah.
Yeah, once the summer gets here, I think it's going to be difficult for him to sustain the meal prep schedule. Right? That's the problem. You know, that schedule, is nice outside. Like, I don't want to spend my Saturdays going, you know, in the grocery store because y'all get after it in the grocery store, right? I mean,
she does.
Yeah.
I told
and
Kevin.
You follow with the cart and just.
Yeah. She treats it as like a game of Price is Right to see who you can compare and contrast. Like, well, this one has 14 less calories.
Right.
And you save 16 cents if you buy 5 of them.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, good. Sounds like a great deal.
So I guess that means give us 5 of them. Oh, my goodness. All right. I can't wait for more updates.
Yeah. I'll keep you informed as to where we are. And today we ate Chipotle.
All right. I wasn't going to say that.
I know.
I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going to call you out.
Well, you know what I do? God, if she's listening, my whole thing's over. But, like, I'll be like, well, Stoke bought lunch for the guys.
Oh, yeah.
God, what was I going to tell him? No.
Yeah, that's make rude. Me look like the nice guy. I'll continue that story for you. Thanks. Right. Just give me a heads up.
Right,
I'll ride with you.
All right. So let's get back to some sports talk here. Buffs did their thing. The ladies waiting for a winner tonight. Nuggets got their business taken care of without Joker, without Jamal. I did just get an update. They are officially questionable, Stoke.
Okay.
Jamal and Joker as of tonight. But Memphis is all banged up, and they're full on tank mode. So feel good about who the Nuggets have tonight, even if it is without Jamal and Joker. And if they're able to go, you know, handle your business, take care of it, and then rest them later on in the third and fourth quarters, of course. The Avalanche, a big weekend.
Just real quick on the Nuggets.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm like, I'd like to see those guys back in the lineup.
Tonight.
I would. And maybe it's, you know, hopefully it's one of those games where, you know, it's a three-quarter game for them. But I'd like to see them back in the lineup and get Jokic going. And hopefully, and then that just makes me take a deep breath about him just being the injury situation. Mm-hmm. We'll see what it looks like. Obviously, hopefully they were just very cautious in Portland. Didn't need them. A couple of nice performances from Brown and Aaron Gordon and a couple other guys there. But that was a good win on the road. I'm looking for that number one seed. I want them to keep playing for that thing. Right now they got a slight edge, a half game up over OKC, and one game up, I believe it is, over Minnesota. So a lot to continue to play for here. I hate to see one slip away because you're kind of overlooking Memphis. And, like, you're woo-wooing it, just like, just we play whoever. Like, let's not do that.
Yeah, I'm overlooking them.
Yeah, you are. You're like, this is a bye. I mean, like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. They got some, I don't know who's playing for them and what their situation is, but they got a little talent over there. And if we're playing, you know, our Gillespies and, like, let's not just think that we're just going to just roll if we don't have our guys.
That's basically exactly how I'm feeling.
I know. I'm looking at it differently.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, Jamal and Joker, just don't even go to the arena. Stay home tonight, watch it on TV, and everything will be fine. Show up tomorrow for shoot around and get ready for the rest of the week, because it gets a little tight a little bit later on in the week. Another Nuggets question, actually, real quick to stay. 11 games left for both the Nuggets and the Avs, and they got their 50th win. On Saturday night, they became the first team in the Western Conference to achieve 50 wins. Their all-time franchise mark, Stoke, is 57. So you go 8-3 down the stretch, you have the winningest season in Denver Nuggets history.
Oh, wow.
And it's certainly possible, 8-3, especially the way, what, have they lost two games since,
heck yeah,
since the All-Star break?
Yeah. I mean, wow, I didn't realize that. That would be awesome. Why not? Like, let's go. Right?
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, Mike and Malone has told us, and I don't want them to go for, you know, these records or stats and you know, just disregard health and rest. I got it. I want to be as healthy as possible and as rested as possible. But I also want to be playing good basketball going into the playoffs and feeling good about it. So hopefully we can accomplish all of those things. But, hey, I'll tell you this, okay, and I think this is where I'm at, and I think I would make a bet. And I think I will make a bet.
Okay.
Okay, because you tried to hustle me into that thing. I'm looking at our guys here.
Here we go.
Vince Williams Jr.'s out.
Oh, what are they going to do?
Settle down. Okay. I know what you're doing there. I see what you're doing. I don't like that. I think he's – I'm trying to figure out – it's hard to read this thing, estimated return date. It's hard to read this injury report here. I'm looking at the – the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. My guy Luke Kennard's out. Never mind. I was gonna. What? What's so funny? Put some respect on Luke Kennard.
Okay, of course.
A Desmond Bain day to day.
I actually like Desmond.
Yeah. So they got too many guys hurt. Or I would have bet it.
Okay.
I would have bet it. And taken the Grizzlies if Jokic and Jamal weren't playing, but not with their lineup. I'm gonna be watching.
What if I was like, the Nuggets are gonna win by 8 or something like that? What if I said that?
Oh, look at you. I see what you're doing here.
We're going to get
what
there.
You do.
We're
this is what you do. I'd say, let me, now I got to think about that again.
Okay
so I'm not rushing any more bets with you.
All right, that's fair. That is fair. All right, a couple texts here.
Because I leave here and I'm like, what the hell did I just do?
Yeah.
I got caught up in the moment, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to let that happen.
I think we're still one on pizza as well.
Huh?
For the Russ. Did we do that yet?
No. Yeah, Kisner's buying.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
Kisner's
right.
Paying, yeah, okay. Right? Kisner, yeah. You didn't spend that money, right?
No, I didn't spend it yet.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you're buying pizza this week.
Yeah.
From my money. It's my money.
Yeah, yeah.
But we won it.
Yeah, you
Australian
helped me win.
Australian horse racing.
Yeah, Australian horse racing.
That's right.
We did.
That's right. Oh, that's right. The night we were stuck in the hotel. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
It was great. For you guys.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Really great for Kevin and Stoke. And Drew and I had a decent time sitting there watching you guys win stuff. All right, some of the texters, going back to my food prepping thing, says, I feel bad for you when you get home, Josh.
I know, I kind of do too.
It's not as bad as you guys may think it is. I'm doing all right.
Time to clean up, Josh. What are you doing? No. You're not watching the Nuggets tonight. We're prepping. We're meal prepping. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I can see that, too. I think that's pretty accurate.
But here's another one that says, Dover, I think I had you pegged all wrong. I think we'd actually be best friends.
Oh, wow.
See, so maybe I'm resonating with some folks.
Yeah, that person's soft, too.
Soft?
Oh, I'm about to say, soft. Did I say that out loud?
Oh, man. I also have found out via the text line, this was according to one guy named Mike, said, yeah, Zach was whining about going to the Avs game with bad tickets, so the listener texted in and gave him good tickets.
Oh, are you serious?
That's what Mike said on the RamosLaw.com text line.
That's what he does. That's against the law. That's against the law. Seriously, that's against the law. Like he does that all the time.
He's like campaigning?
Yeah, does it, you know, and so people are like, oh, okay, you know, he sounds like a nice guy. He's a nice guy. He's not a nice guy, folks, okay? He puts on an act.
Yeah.
Right? He has my wife fooled, too.
Oh, he does?
Oh, yeah, you're so mean to Zach. You were so mean to him. Why are you, I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. He's a lot more mean than me.
Yeah.
But people believe that. And Zach's like, yeah, I'm going to be going to my first game with my son, and we're going to be sitting up a deck, and I don't know, you know. If someone has some extra tickets, I love them. Like, yeah, it'd be so nice. And then next thing you know, people buy that thing, hook, line, and sinker. Yeah. They send them damn tickets, and he makes out like a bandit. There you go. Good to be Zach by,
it
man.
Is, man. Like I said, I saw the seats he was sitting in, and when the Penguin players would come off the ice, that, you know, you're sitting the back end for your shift, and you keep moving up. It was like Sidney Crosby, Owen By, and Zach By.
Unbelievable.
That was the line of who was sitting next to one another. So shout out to Owen. But yeah, Zach did some Zach stuff there.
Yeah, that's what he does.
I can't wait till they get here a little bit later on in the show.
I'm not staying. I'm not.
They just lost it all right there. I do want to talk a little bit more about these Broncos. I want to talk about what Sean Payton had to say today down at the owner's meeting about moving up in the draft. And he also, Stoke, he's not going to stop. He's got plenty of blame to go around for Russell Wilson. He did it again this morning.
Oh, no.
As to why they lost Justin Simmons. You'll hear it from Sean next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
It's 12:30 on a Monday. We're talking all things bracket. How is yours? Is it busted up? Let us know on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. And if it is busted up, well, we have a solution for you. It's our Sport Clips second chance bracket over at denversports.com/hoops, or if you just hit denversports.com, it's that banner at the top page. It's your chance to win $1,000 and a pair of tickets to every dang concert at the PRCA rodeo event, the granddaddy of them all in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. But if you're just checking out the website, you can't miss the banner at the top of it, and you have to get in on this before the first game tips on March 28th, your second chance bracket, thanks to our friends over at Sport Clips. So you might have lost out on the 5K, but $1,000 in tickets to concerts on the line for the second chance bracket. All right, let's hear a little bit from...
I want to hear about Justin Simmons.
Sean Payton. All right, you want to hear that part first?
Yes, absolutely.
Sean Payton at owners' meetings. It's also a weird setting. Like, they just sit around a dinner table, and then, like, you know, the media that's out there just sit across from him and ask questions. It just seems like a weird setting.
Like, why? I don't understand.
I want him to be at a podium.
Oh, you want him to be at a podium.
Stand up there or something.
Okay, I like it this way, a little bit more relaxed.
You do?
Yeah, I mean, catch them with their guard down. They go up in the podium, all of a sudden they're buttoned up and they're like giving you coach speak. You get them at a table, you know, and then next thing you know, he's having lattes and he's giving you all the scoop.
All right, you might be onto something there with the lattes. Well, he was asked about, you know, kind of the trickle-down effect after you had to make moves deciding to part ways from Russell Wilson, and he talked about having to move on from Justin Simmons.
Someone like Justin, who's really been a first-class player for the organization, someone that I know is respected highly in our league, certainly by us as coaches, that was difficult. That's the hard part of this job sometimes, and wasn't any fun.
So, again, you lose guys like Justin Simmons. That was Josie Jewell. I was trying to think of other starters that they lost. And Lloyd Cushenberry, obviously, from the money not being there. Lloyd was always going to get what Lloyd ended up getting, and then he talked about the guys underneath him. But that's a part of it. Hey, we like Justin Simmons. $14.5 million, I believe, is what the number was. And with the situation of eating $53 million from Russell Wilson, that's the cost of doing business.
Yeah, you got to pick and choose now. And it's, I think you look at price point, you look at production, and you look at not production from last year, but like production the next year and the following year. Do you think he's going to be a part of your team in 2 or 3 years? And so all of that comes into play here whenever you have to make tough decisions on guys that are making a lot of money when you're in a bad situation when it comes to the Russell Wilson dead cap. And Justin Simmons was a victim of that.
Mm-hmm. The cap casualty of one Russell Wilson. And I think today's biggest point of
Russell call and apologize to Justin?
And Justin doesn't even have a team right now.
That was my next question because I was gone all last week. I'm kind of out of the loop a little bit. Obviously, I'm following stuff, but I didn't see anything, and so he still doesn't have a team.
There was a report that he and Philly talked, and his price tag was too much, and Philly took themselves out of the conversation.
Well, I mean, you know, it's going to be hard to get a big number right now.
Yeah.
You know, once you get in 2-3 weeks into free agency. But we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. Do you think Russ called and said, hey, man, I'm sorry. I got you. I'm the one that cost you your job.
No, that would mean that Russ cares about somebody else that's not named Russ.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah, we are in hour three here. So, you're right on a Monday.
Yeah.
I'm out swinging.
Just coming in the groove.
I like that. Okay. All right. Probably didn't call him.
No, I would doubt that he called. I mean, dude, did he have any time to call him? He released a couple of new videos this weekend. He had to edit those things.
Right. He's got a guy to do that, though.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But he was out on the three field in his San Diego compound, and he was taking snaps and
doing a lot of work.
Yeah. He's putting that work in. Okay. The best is yet to come was one of the captions, actually.
Wow. All right. Can't wait. Can't wait.
We'll see what it looks like. All right. The big story of today was Sean Payton talking about trading up. Is it a real possibility? Can they actually, if they've fallen in love with J.J. McCarthy, can they beat the Vikings to the draft board where he will be selected? Is trading up a real possibility?
I think that's realistic. I think it's realistic. I know your report suggested otherwise, but it's realistic.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, no, it did. I would. I think it's realistic. What's hard to predict, though, is like what's on the receiving end. You know, I think it's good to be Monty today at Arizona, right? So it's hard to predict what that cost is, and yet I certainly wouldn't say it's unrealistic.
He says it's not unrealistic. You and I look at it different. All right, it's maybe not unrealistic, but to get in front of Minnesota, that's where I would use the word unrealistic.
Yeah, I think it's going to be difficult. But I a week or two ago, looking at this situation, like, no chance. Listening to him, thinking about it a little bit more, I think it's a possibility. If they want a guy, if they love a guy, if it's J.J. McCarthy, and they had the pro day with him or their individual workout with him, and they loved him, like, that's going to be our guy. It's going to cost you everything. Yeah, I mean, everything. It's like, so, you know, if you're willing to throw everything at the Arizona Cardinals to get a guy like J.J. McCarthy, all right, I guess it is in play still. I don't know if Minnesota has a budget or not. If you got no budget, like, you do whatever you want, right? So if it's going to cost you at least two first-rounders, mm-hmm. plus. So, I mean, they have that. They have next year's and the following year, and they have second-rounders after that. And, you know, they got Pat Surtain if they wanted to throw him in there. I mean, so you got an asset that's – and you got some draft picks. Maybe you can't battle Minnesota with draft picks this year. But in the future, you have, you know, the capability of possibly moving up to that spot. I mean, but to your point, like, is it worth it? I mean, like, goodness, I get it. You need a quarterback, but – you're giving up, like, we don't have anything right now anyway. We're broke. And you're giving up stuff you don't even have.
Yeah.
Like, you need to fix that stuff, too.
That's what worries me the most is if you're picking, you're giving up a couple first-round picks to go get J.J. McCarthy because that's what it looks like. It feels like who Sean has fallen in love with. And he misses. And J.J.'s not the guy. And you've traded Patrick Surtain, and we already know what the roster is. Like, PS2's the best football player on the roster. He would be gone. That's where I get into the conversation you and I had earlier about, all right, how long does that set the Denver Broncos back? Because I would actually make the argument here, Stoke, that picking Bo Nix or Michael Penix or any quarterback at 12, that's actually not going to set you back that
right.
far. I went back yesterday and did some of the financials for the 12th overall pick. It's nothing. It's a great money for you and I. Nothing in the NFL world and what Walton and the Penner Group is going to have to deal with. So missing at 12, it doesn't really set you back a lot. You're missing at quarterback and that hurts. But trading the capital and then missing, that's when you get into the conversation of how long did Sean Payton just screw the Broncos?
Decade.
That's a long time.
Decade. I mean, that's where you'd be in my eyes. You know, you're 3 years with that quarterback. You're going to give that quarterback every opportunity unless you get, you know, lucky like the 49ers did. And, oh, you got Brock Purdy. I mean, how often does that stuff happen? They hit the Powerball there.
Yeah.
So it's unless you get lucky like that, man, and it's a hard thing to get lucky. It's a hard thing to find that quarterback. You're going to be out of first-round picks, you know, for a couple years, plus second, thirds. I mean, and then you trade Surtain. I mean, the roster stinks to begin with. It's not a great roster. And you got to you know, upgrade the roster, but then now you got to find a quarterback on top of it after going down the wrong way for 3 years with the wrong guy. It'd be a decade-long mistake. Now, does Sean care?
Is it his right? problem for a decade?
Right. No, it wouldn't be. He'd be fired. He'd be gone, make his $100 million or whatever. And so, I don't think Sean's looking at it that way at all. He's going to evaluate the guy. And if he loves J.J. McCarthy, I believe what he's saying. He'll go up and he'll try whatever it takes to go up and get that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I really do believe that. It's going to be interesting to see. Will it be J.J. McCarthy or, you know, like you said, look, if you're at 12, you miss, all right. It hurts.
Yeah.
But not for a decade.
Well, you know what it costs? It costs him about $20-25 million. That's what you lose.
Yeah, over 4 or 5 years. That's right. On the salary right. cap. Whatever at that point. You know, but it does cost you time mm-hmm. if it's a quarterback. Cost you a couple years probably. But if you move up and you swing big and you miss, that's when you really pay the price. So it's going to be interesting. McCarthy at 4. Is it Bo Nix at 12? Is it Bo Nix at 8? You know, it's going to be, and it's here in a couple weeks, right? A few weeks?
Yeah.
3 weeks?
Coming right up. Round one on that Thursday in April. Broncos fans, what do you think about it? Would you make the move up? Does it seem unrealistic to you? And would Patrick Surtain be a part of that conversation? Then another layer to that is how far are they set back if they miss on this pick? Tell us at 303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. Deion Sanders was all over the news this weekend for something he said on a podcast talking about where Shador will or won't end up. Details next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Lunch hour, and we're going to get up to Boulder here in just a moment, but I do want to react to a few of you on the text line. We asked you guys how you would feel moving up. Sean Payton saying it is realistic for them to be players early in the draft. This is from the 284. We will lose a generation of Broncos fans if they give up all those picks again for a failed quarterback. Peyton will solidify his failure as a head coach if he does this deal again for this franchise.
Well, I mean, you're looking at the negative side there, buddy.
What if it's a hit?
Right. What if he hits?
Yeah.
And you have Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes type of quarterback, and for the next decade. Are you happy with that? I think we all would be. Mm-hmm. So it could be a decade plus. Don't want to say you're going to find another Mahomes. I mean, his start of his career has been pretty special. But if you find just a great quarterback, mm-hmm. I mean, so if you hit on that, I mean, Sean's not going to do it thinking that it's going to be a bust.
Right.
You know, yeah. I mean, so like you just kind of hope that it works out. And then you reap the benefits of that.
Mm-hmm. Mike from Littleton also says this. And, Mike, I think this is actually a well-thought-out text, but I my pushback would be the rest of Broncos country not riding with you what Mike's saying here. It says they need to build their team with the draft picks this year, get a quarterback next year after getting some young talent and going 3-14 to get your quarterback. Seems like a no-brainer, right? That's, again, Mike from Littleton. And I see that, Mike, because I told you that before. I think the jump is in 2025. But I also have to come here on 17 Mondays after a Broncos game and discuss what they had done the day before. So just mailing it in isn't an option, and Sean Payton's ego will not allow him to do that. The good news, Mike, I think that this roster might take care of itself dependent on who the quarterback is when the season actually starts.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's why, you know, if you listened to us and rocked with us last year, I was hoping we would just continue down the being awful road. And, like, we're halfway there. Like, don't turn around now. Let's continue. Like, we're already here. Let's have a top five pick.
Mm-hmm.
So then we can just sit there and pick a quarterback if we want to. If not, we can we weren't going to be good.
Yeah.
Now, they surprised me with getting back in the playoff picture. But, like, overall, that wasn't a playoff team. It never was. But they fooled themselves. And, you know, they found ways to win games that you just shook your head and scratched your head and was just like, hey, this is not sustainable. They went on a little run. So they had to stay the course, unfortunately. I don't blame them. But, you know, it's easy for us to say, no, just keep playing bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, like, we would be sitting in a much better situation right now, yeah. Unfortunately.
Think if they were the Chargers at five. You just swap with four. New England, I heard Cecil saying this morning that New England is in love with Jaden Daniels, and if they're not available to get Jaden Daniels, they'd be willing to bounce out.
Maybe.
5-3 is a play you can certainly get to go get your JJ or Jaden, or Drake, if that was the one that you were so in love with. So keep the text coming in. Like I said, I think that's easy to say in March of, yeah, just tank. I said it. Yeah, 2024, you're going to write it off. But come, you know, December, when we're in week 13, 14, and go, the hell are we doing here? Again,
Yeah, let's just see how the beginning goes. I think then you can adjust.
Okay.
Like that's kind of the way, like, all right, let's go into the season trying to compete and win, and then once you see you're not good or you are good, then that tells you where to go.
Yeah. All right, keep the text rolling in, 303-713-1043. Same rules over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. Hang out there in the chat room and watch the show right there on Twitch.
Tell me about Prime.
Want to go to Prime. Let's go to Boulder, where he is, I think his book tour is officially over. He was doing his book tour. 21 Ways to Dominate On and Off the Field.
That's what it's called?
Yeah, something along those lines. 21 Ways of Being Prime, basically.
Okay.
And he was stopping by the Kelly Clarkson show. He did The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. And then, of course, he did the Millions Worth of Game podcast and talked about Shador and Travis and their future when it comes to the NFL draft. Here's what Prime had to say.
Top four.
Whoa, that's pretty beautiful.
Anywhere from one through four. One of them is going to be one.
Mm. That's what I'm talking about.
One of them is going to
be into existence.
And the latter one would not go behind four.
Mm.
Now, all this is subjective because I know where I want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget Shallow, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't gonna happen.
It's okay, you on point?
It's gonna be an Eli.
It's gonna be an Eli, as he said there. And remember, Eli was was it the Chargers and the Giants, right, going back and forth. Didn't want to go to then San Diego. So going to be an Eli is what Deion said, and he's referring to Shador being a number one quarterback. I also got to give love to Eli because he is secretly like a hilarious Manning that we all found out when the Manning cast started. He tweeted 2 hours ago, quote, tweeting that clip that we just played from the Worth of Millions podcast, and just wrote, I love me some Deion.
There you go.
But Stoke, people are upset about this quote from Deion Sanders kind of being greedy, using leverage for his kid Shador. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, no, I don't look at it that way. I think if you got leverage, you ought to use it. And if he has leverage in the situation, I think, you know, why wouldn't you use it to try to end up in the best possible situation for yourself? We don't see it a lot, but it's happened before. And what the Broncos were a big beneficiary of that, John Elway.
Yeah.
We'll see what it looks like. Now you have to have power to have leverage, right? You have to be one of those picks and be in those situations. Now you have more, I think, leverage than ever before as a college athlete. NIL money, so you got a little money. They can't hold that over your head. Certainly, a guy like Shador and Travis Hunter, you know, do. Have a lot of NIL money, so it's not like they're being forced to play for money right away. Mm-hmm. They could sit out a year, I guess, if they really wanted to. I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's a right play. There's only so many teams that you're going to be able to really choose from, I would think, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at, okay, well, do you want to be the first pick, or are you good with being the eighth pick in the draft? You know, so... Doesn't want to play for a cold weather team, he was saying.
Mention that.
I get it if there's one or two teams that you just look at their organization, their structure.
Like if Carolina has a number one overall pick next year, I agree with Deion. You don't want to go play for the Carolina Panthers.
There you go, right? But that's not even a cold weather team.
No, right, but they just stink as an organization.
No, exactly. But what happens if the number two pick is a cold weather team?
Yeah, let's say it's the Broncos.
Let's say it's the Giants.
Oh.
Or the... Well, is this considered cold weather for Deion?
I think so.
I would think no.
Oh, really?
Because he's playing here right now. His son's playing for Colorado right now.
Right. Well, he doesn't like it. Weather part of it, I mean.
No, so I think when he's talking about cold weather, he's like Green Bay.
Okay.
The frozen tundra.
Chicago.
You know, New York. I mean, yeah. I don't think he's talking about here because his son plays here right now, or he wouldn't have came here. But I don't know. I don't know. We'll see what it looks like. I'm not against it. I'm not going to be negative to Deion if you're talking about his kid and, like, you know, Travis Hunter, he looks at as his kid. If they're trying to go to the best possible situation, why not? Like, hey, if you can do it, then do it if you have that type of power. You?
I understand why he's doing it 100%. And if you do have the leverage, we say it all the time. Leverage is a beautiful thing. You don't get to use it much. When it's in your corner, use the heck out of it. But I would actually push back on the Shador and even Travis. Like, what's their leverage? What is their leverage? John could play baseball. Bo could play baseball. They both went and did that. Shador's leverage is what?
I'm really good, and you're going to waste a draft pick on me, and I'm not going to play for a year, and then I'm going to come back the following year, and I'll enter the draft again. So do you want to waste a first-round pick on me and look like idiots? Right?
Right.
And that's what Eli was doing.
Yeah.
Eli could play baseball. He certainly couldn't play basketball.
No.
He's not, you know, the only thing he could play was quarterback.
Right. He's not Stokely.
Not, right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, I was a two-sport athlete. Yeah,
I know.
Me, Charlie Ward, Bo Jackson, like right. Two-sport great athletes.
Same conversation, too.
Louisiana Lafayette, Florida State, Auburn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Julius Peppers comes
of
to
course,
mind for
yeah.
me, right?
Yeah.
Stop it.
I actually lived in Florida as a kid while Charlie Ward was there.
Yeah.
You couldn't go to the grocery store without talking about Charlie Ward. I'm sure it was the same in, where were you at?
Lafayette, Louisiana. Yeah, same.
Couldn't go to the grocery store without hearing about Stoke
right.
on the hardwood
star.
Or the football field.
No, but like, so that's the difference here. Like, and they have money where they can actually, you know, force the issue here to say, all right, I'm not doing it. So, you know, do you want to be one of those teams? So I think there is a power play for them.
Let's keep this conversation going on the other side. Check in with some of you guys on the RamosLaw.com text line. Is there leverage for Shador? Can he actually choose where he ends up in 2025 in the NFL draft? We'll keep this conversation going next.